traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, horsemen from all over the country, all over the world, all disciplines, everywhere. Rich, poor, whatever. Glad to have you guys here with us today on the International Equine Network. We're going to be doing a lot of things here today, taking a look at a lot of different things that have come up for us. You know, this time of year is kind of the everybody getting organized, getting ready to come back, you know, down south, for example. That's going to be the big thing. Everybody's trying to get all their good horses to the different shows that are out there now. They're trying to get them all to, you know, hit their peak right at this time. Got Breeders' Cup coming up here in November. Got a lot of good things that are coming along, you know, for them. All the good horse shows are coming along in Pennsylvania and New York and California. And, you know, Thermal has got a real good season going. So does Tryon in North Carolina. It had some good news that World Equestrian Center in Ocala was voted in the top 10 destinations for the United States. That beat out Disney World and a whole bunch of other good places to go to. But the World Equestrian Center there is just phenomenal. They got any and everything there. It's huge. You know, they're pushing over 3,000 acres there. They got any and everything that you could want, the hotels, the camping, the restaurants. They even got a church there, a grocery store there. So it's really looking pretty good, you know, for them there. But again, you know, like we said here in our shows, it's all about distribution. It's all about information. And that's what we're trying to get out here today, about all the information that you can go to and see that we have here on our website. In fact, one of the shows that we had this past week was the Vincent Delaney Memorial. It's a fantastic horse race. You know, the Irish do very well at what they do. So do the Brits, so do the French. It was just unbelievable, you know, the weekend that we had in harness racing in Europe. Just unbelievable that we have there. So one of the things that I'm talking about today is your local equestrian information. If you go to wherever you live at, I don't care if you're just a small town or if you're a big town or, you know, just what, go and Google equestrians or horses for your area. And it will come up and it'll give you all kinds of places to go to ride at the stables to, you know, do just a little bit of everything, you know, there. That's what's really good about it. So, you know, I'm excited about what we're doing here, to see what all's going on. You know, hopefully we'll get some call-ins here today and see what's going on, you know, with what we're doing here. This will be good. Hopefully we'll have some people stop by here at Sunshine Meadows in Palm Beach Downs and Delray Equestrian to see what all we have here. That would be fantastic, you know, to have you come out and see what we're doing. As a matter of fact, we've had a lot of camps, horse camps. And what I like about our horse camps that we have here, each one of our trainers sets up every year a regular horse camp, you know, for their stables. And they try to do one in the spring, one in the summer. And then the ones in the fall are the ones that are really the best to come in, because you have Halloween that's around. You have Thanksgiving and you have Christmas. And I tell you, it's really exciting to see these kids get out here and with their horses, especially at Halloween. Oh my goodness, they decorate these horses up and then they have a nice parade of the contestants, and then we vote and see who's the best, and they win, you know, some prizes and that type of thing. But it's amazing how these horses take the, you know, take the clothes and the outfits that they put on these horses. I mean, it's just unbelievable, you know, how they do that. You know, I really get a kick out of that. And it's good for the kids. And, you know, the unusual thing about it is, it's in the horse business, like especially the show horses, usually it's an individual person that, you know, that's there with the horse. And then you have the trainer. But when we have these camps and they get these horses all, you know, fancied up for, you know, Halloween or Thanksgiving or Christmas or what have you, it's a family thing. And that's what I like about the camps. The families really get into it, from the little kids that can't ride to the big, you know, to the parents and to the grandparents. That's really the greatest thing about it, you know, that I like, you know, to see it, that happen, that family get together thing, you know, in there. So, you know, we'll see, but that's coming up. And all of our barns have, you know, some type of camp. You can call us, you know, here at 561-690-8813, and that'll let you know, who's doing what. You know, I'll get you signed up, you know. Come out and visit with us. I'll take you a tour of the farm. It's one of my jobs here, to keep everybody going, getting in the right direction, you know, for what we're doing. And, you know, it's fun. We have fun here. We do a lot of good things here that you'd be surprised at. You don't have to know anything at all about horses. You can come out and just take a tour of the farm. You don't have to ride. You don't have to clean a stall. You don't have to bathe the horse. You can just come out and ride with us and see what all's going on. You know, we'd like to see you do that. And then, you know, we can school you. We can educate you on horses, you know, all over the country. Wherever you're from, you know, I can tell you, you know, to where you can go and where you can see horses at in your area. I tell you, there's one place in particular that I like, and that's Southern Indiana. Southern Indiana, they've got a lot of good horse stables there. They're small. And in Southern Indiana, the 4-H has a lot of people that are involved in the horse business, and they're very active in it. And this time of year, when you have a lot of county fairs and things that have happened and already, you know, taken place, we've got a lot of county fairs that are coming up. You can go there, and they've got great equestrian displays. They've got all kinds of horses. They have all kinds of competitions, you know, that type of thing. And that's what's good about it. You know, people don't realize that the horse industry has a very huge economic impact on what we do. I mean, it's just unbelievable. They got, you name it, they affect all the communities. And that's what we're trying to tell people about. Get out and support those people. Who knows, you might find you a hobby that you never thought you would even have. You know, it's unbelievable. We had an 80-year-old guy out here at Sunshine Meadows 2 days ago, and he was celebrating his birthday. And he rode when he was a kid in Venezuela. He had to ride a horse to school. You know, they had to ride a horse to get groceries. And then once he came to the United States and he got into business, and, you know, he kind of got away from it, but he told his son that on his 80th birthday, what he wanted to do is he wanted to come out and ride a horse like he used to when he was a kid. And let me tell you something, he was something else. He was something else. I mean, I was really surprised that he did as good as he did. And so I asked him, I said, now that you had your birthday present, I said, are you happy? He said, Scotty, he said, I tell you what, he said, here's the deal. I'm coming back. And I said, you coming back for your next birthday? He said, no, he said, I'm coming back next week. He said, I'm going to try to ride 2 times a month. He said, get in shape. I said, this guy's 80 years old, and he's talking about getting in shape, and he's going to do it riding. Well, long story short, his son told me afterwards, said he had been walking every day, you know, for 30 minutes to get ready to come out and ride for his birthday. So he's very conscious, you know, that it's a physical, you know, sport, and that's what he wanted to do, and so that's what he's doing. So this goes to show you that it's never too late, you know, to learn to ride. you know, and well, he already knew how to ride, but he's 60 years ago. So, you know, that was good. And he had his family with him and everything. So, you know, we tried doing things like that here. Now we got all the horses coming back from up north. September, first week of September, they start coming back. Todd Pletcher, our trainer at Palm Beach Downs, that's our thoroughbred facility, he's doing fantastic up at Saratoga. I think he's got like 18 or 19 wins up there. He's going to have another couple today up there at Saratoga. He's in a couple of stake races on Saturday that he should be doing good. So, you know, we're kind of excited, you know, to have them, you know, finish up a good fall and then have a good Breeders' Cup. He's got like 12 horses that would be eligible for the Breeders' Cup out in Del Mar. So, you know, now that focus is going to be turned to them. And then after the Breeders' Cup, he'll turn his focus on getting his two-year-olds and his horses that have been at the farm back in shape and getting ready for another year of racing. And, I mean, it happens quick. You know, it happens real quick. And so we're looking forward to that. Then our show horses, they're coming back. They're finishing up their shows in Tryon, North Carolina, and Kentucky, New York, Maryland. They're all coming back. They're coming back from Europe, getting ready for the you know, for the winter season here. The winter season here in Florida, the shows are going to be unbelievable. I mean, I'm telling you, they are going to just be unbelievable. They have a lot of good shows that have upgraded themselves. They've got more money. They got they're a little more prestigious than they were in the past few years. So, and the unusual thing about it is we get a lot of riders from Europe. A lot of the people that were in the Olympics rode here in South Florida, in Central Florida last year, because the weather's so good. And I mean, it's just really good to go, you know, here for that. So, you know, we're excited about that. We're looking forward to the Winter Equestrian Festival getting going in Oak and Wellington, the World Equestrian Center again. You know, let me remind you that that was named in the top 10 destinations for people to visit in the United States. Now, that's just totally unheard of. You know, when you hear and see something like that, to know that there's an equestrian facility that is recommended, you know, to go see when you come to the United States. It's the only one in there. It's the only one in the top 20, you know, to come there. And they've got a little bit of everything there. They've got, you know, they've got a regular church. They've got a regular grocery store. They've got camping. They got RV parking, restaurants, five-star hotels. They got a multi-purpose facility there for other things other than equestrian events. It's a big basketball facility in there, volleyball. You know, so they literally have everything there. They got good trail rides. It's just got everything. Ocala's just got everything that you could want to need. When you get into Ocala, if you're not at the World Equestrian Center, the Gypsy Vanner horses, these are the horses that pulled the wagons for the gypsies all throughout Eastern Europe and Europe. They have a nice facility there that you can go to and see the history of the Gypsy Vanner horses. And the gentleman that owns the farm actually brought the Gypsy Vanners to the United States. And so it's just amazing. And you know, you see them on TV, the wagons, but once you get there, you can actually go in and get in the wagons and look at them, see how they built all these compartments for their dishes and for their tools and utensils, and they're all in a compartment, you know, on the actual wagons. You know, it's just very, very unbelievable. You know, you'll like seeing those. But those are the Gypsy Vanners that they have there. And then you have the Ocala Breeders sales that will be having sales all fall, winter long there. And you'll see some of the best horses in the world being sold for millions of dollars. And what I like about that is the OBS is they've got a training facility there that the horses train at, and you can go there and you can get up close and in person with the horses and the trainers and the owners. You can walk around, grab you a catalog, you know, so you can see who's going through the sale ring, and it's really a nice day to get there, you know, when you go there, because it's not like you're in a stadium. You know, looking at it, you're right down on the rail. You're right, standing right on the rail where the horses are running at. You can walk through the barn area, you know, and a lot of the trainers will talk to you and say hi to you, and some of the grooms and the outriders and the jockeys. And it's really a good facility to go to there. It's the Ocala Breeder Sales there in Ocala. And then we also have the same thing in Kentucky at the Kentucky Horse Park. The Kentucky Horse Park, what I like about it, and I recommend that you do go to it, to the Kentucky Horse Park, and this is the reason why. It's the only facility in the country where they have all the different organizations for the horse industry there. They have an office there. You got the United States Equestrian Federation. You have everything there. And when you go there, you can go from building to building, and you can go in and take a look at it, and it'll tell you all about dressage. It'll tell you about the American Quarter Horses. They have all that information right at your hands there. And when you go there, you can walk out of there knowing that what equestrian facilities are in your area, where from the smallest to the biggest. And that's what I like about the Kentucky Horse Park. They got a great museum there that you can see. You can see all kinds of demonstrations that they have there. Horses getting their shoes. When a horse gets shod, they got a blacksmith that comes out, and they show them. You walk right up into the barns and see what it's like. They've got trail rides. You name it, they've got it there. And they got some of the best jumping facilities, the dressage facility, cross-country facilities, and you're all part of it. And what I like about it is you can walk up, you know, and get close. You can see what it's like, you know, what these horses are going through. You can go to the barns and see the horses. They got a couple of nice places to eat there that are really good. But they got the little gift shop there. It's really great. And I always suggest people, if they want to do something different and unusual, you know, for Christmas time or birthdays, is go to the gift shop there. They got everything there. You name it, they got it, and it's very inexpensive. You know, you can get all kinds of different things there for birthday presents, anniversaries, you know, that type of thing. So that's what I like about the Kentucky Horse Park. And if you go to all, just about every state has a horse park, you know, that you can go to and see what all's going on, you know, there, that type of thing. And then, of course, being in Lexington, you're right there close to Keeneland. Keeneland's got a phenomenal library there. It's just, they have any kind of book, every kind of magazine, you name it, they've got it there at Keeneland. And it's real laid back. You can go in there and sit, and you can look at the books, read the books, see the history of Keeneland and horse racing, see history of the sales at Keeneland. You know, it's just a fantastic week. That's what I'd do if I go to Lexington. I'd spend a week going and seeing everything. Because in Lexington, they got a lot of horse farm tours that you can go to. And then, of course, you know, with Kentucky being the bourbon capital of the world, they've got all kinds of tours that take you to the distilleries and through the wineries. And it's really nice. It's really nice, you know, to do that. It's all good family stuff that you go to the horse farms, and you can see where Secretariat's at. You can see everything from Claiborne Farms to the One Star Farm tour is really good. I like it. And then you had the Old Friends Farm, which where they send the retired racehorses to. They'll send them to there, and then they retire them, and you can go up and you can pet them, and you can see them, and you can feed them treats, and you can see horses that have won the Derby and the Preakness and the Belmont and the Breeders' Cup. You can see a lot of nice horses that are there. It's just unreal that you can do. So, you know, at Lexington is a really good place to go. And then, you know, talking about books and everything, this book just came out, and you can go to ChurchillDowns.com, and on there, it's 150 years of the Kentucky Derby. It's a real nice book. It tells you all about the Kentucky Derby. It's got pictures, and it tells you exactly what people were looking at. You know, why the Derby is good, and it also says in here that it's getting bigger and bigger every year. You know, they just don't know what to do, you know, with the crowds that they're getting. You know, it's nothing for them to get, you know, 150,000 people in Churchill. They remodeled it and expanded it and made it more convenient. And, you know, it's just unreal, you know, what all they do here. But the 150 years of the Derby, I love this book. I keep looking to see myself in here, and I see myself in here a couple of times. And it was kind of interesting, you know, to see. And I remember some of these derbies that they talk about in here, the derbies that had the rain and the most people. And, you know, it was just the parking. And one thing I really got the biggest hick out of one year, people were mad. They were screaming and hollering. It's back right when the cell phones started, you know, everybody having a cell phone. There were so many people there that it overloaded the cell phone towers, and there was no service. And, you know, people were trying to get their pictures and trying to get their, you know, talk to their family and all like that. And it was just unbelievable, you know. But who had ever thought they'd get so many cell phones in one area that, you know, it would drop the service there? And so what they did is they set up satellite cell phone towers around town so it could carry the load. And, you know, that was really the big thing. And it worked. You know, it worked for them. It came out pretty good. I was a victim of some of those outages. And it was tough when you're trying to get a hold of your trainer or your owners, you know, to, you know, keep them updated on what all is going on there. But like I said, the 150 years of the Derby, it gets up close, personal. You know, you have Pat Day in there, tells his story. You know, just some of the things that you see in there. You know, I was talking about this the other day. We had a horse out here at Palm Beach Downs. His name was Monarcos. And this horse was a flat out runner. He was back in 2001, when Monarcos was there. He ran the fastest Derby time that tied Secretariat. So it was a big issue. Who was the faster horse, Monarcos or Secretariat? So a lot of thought went into it and everything. And that year that Monarcos ran, that was when they went to electronic timing in 2001 that they had there. And then, of course, when Secretariat ran, they did it by a handheld watch. And so what they did is Secretariat's record still stood, and Monarcos was a couple tenths off of that record. You know, so that was a serious issue. And what I like about, you know, things like that in this 150 years of the Kentucky Derby is the fact if you go into the Derby Museum there or go online to Churchill Downs and then click on Museum, you can find this book and you can find out all these different things. And what I like about the museum, you go in there, they've got a starting gate. You can actually stand in a starting gate and see what it looks like for horses, you know, to be in a starting gate. They got all kinds of videos in there and things that you can get on there and check out and questions that you can ask. You know, it's a great thing to do for the family. And then when you go to Churchill to get the 150 years of the Kentucky Derby book, you go to the museum. And if you go over early in the morning to Churchill, they have the backside tours, and you get on a little tram or in a van, and they drive you around the backside of the track while the horses are going out to train. And they stop at all the barns that have had a Kentucky Derby winner in it. And you can see, you know, some pretty good horses in there and probably see some future Kentucky Derby runners and even winners in there. And so that backside tour is really good. And then they also have breakfast at the Downs where you can go out and get some breakfast, and you can go out to the rail and you can watch the horses train and stand on the rail. And a lot of times the pony exercise riders bring their horse over to the rail. The outriders and the lead ponies will come over to the rail, and you can actually pet a horse. You know, you can actually put your hands and rub him on the nose and just see what he's doing while he's working out there. And that's really nice. And the breakfasts are really good, and they're very economical, you know, to go to. But that's at Churchill Downs. And just about every track has kind of like a backside tour, like Saratoga, for example. Saratoga is another track that you can go to that's running now. And, I mean, it is unbelievable how they do there. At Saratoga. You know, I was saying yesterday, normally I'm in Saratoga this time of year. I'm normally up there, but due to medical issues and some other things that I haven't been able to get up there. But, you know, you get up to Saratoga, you get so doggone tired because you're up early in the morning, and then you got, you know, you have the breakfast there and a good old country breakfast. And then after you have that, you go to the races and watch the races and grab you a couple of snacks. And then after the race is over, you can go over to the standard bred track if you want and watch standard breds at night race. You know, or most people usually go out and go downtown in Saratoga and walk downtown. It's very historical. They got a lot of things down there. They got the Saratoga spring water there that you can get. You know, they got all kinds of benches, and it's a nice place just to go down and window shop, you know, through Saratoga. You know, they have that there. Then they've got SPAC, which is the Saratoga Performing Arts Center. They have that, and they've got all kinds of entertainment there the whole month of August. They got ballet, they've got music, you name it, they have it there, you know, at Saratoga. There's more colleges in Saratoga than any place in the country. Just in that one little community, you know, Skidmore College is probably the most recognized name there of the colleges. And they usually have things there that you can see, you can go and see. So, you know, that's nice about Saratoga. And then all around Saratoga, you know, you're close to Lake Placid where they had the Olympics at. You can go up there and see the big ski, jumps. They got Lake George. Lake George is fantastic. They got all the little shops at Lake George, and the discount shops, you know, and so you can go up there and see that. So that's good. You know, so there's a little bit of everything in Saratoga. And like I said, every track has a good program. The best time to go is when they have like Preakness Week or Belmont Week, or, you know, Churchill has the Derby Festival, or, you know, like at Del Mar. Del Mar this year, they have the Breeders' Cup. They're going to have it there 2 years in a row because they're working on the track at Santa Anita. But there's a lot going on. And let me tell you something. Breeders' Cup at Del Mar, well, that's a Hollywood event in itself. You go there during Breeders' Cup week, and you're going to see more and more and more movie stars, celebrities, athletes, and everything, and they're just walking around. You're just walking around. They're standing in line with you to get a hot dog. They're standing in line with you to bet on the races, standing in line with you to go to the restroom. You know, and I mean, it's really, it's a who's who when you go to the Breeders' Cup at Del Mar. And that'll be coming up. It's 2 days racing, Breeders' Cup days there. Just fantastic, you know, to go to. It's going to be interesting. And the way it looks now from our Palm Beach Downs farm, we got about 11, I'd say between 11 and 13 horses that'll be going out for the Breeders' Cup this year. So, for the different races. So we're kind of excited about that. you know, to have in the community. And just don't go for the event, you know, for the Derby or for, you know, just don't go for that. Go for the community. Spend a few days at the community, you know, seeing what it's all about. Meet the people. And then that way you can get the feel of the atmosphere, you know, of how people live, you know. It's really good to do that. And that's what I like about the horse racing business. Whether there's a festival or not, you know, you just go out to the races and it kind of gets you into the community. It's like Colonial Downs out at Richmond or New Kent, Virginia out there. You're close to a lot of historical places to go to. You know, that you got Williamsburg, you got all kinds of places, you know, out there that you can go to and see about the Civil War. And it's just a bit more about racing. It's about getting involved in the community. And when you get involved in the community, you kind of catch the horse fever. And that's what you do, you know, when you get out there to it. So, like I said, every place has got its own place that you go to. You know, I always go back to the Derby because that's kind of what started this whole thing out. It was unbelievable to see how everybody has kind of adopted their own thing. You know, like Pimlico, their Preakness Week is really good. Belmont Week is really good. Breeders' Cup is really good. And now you get all these just little smaller, you know, races. I'll give you a good example, like in Indiana, the Indiana Derby. That's a couple of days right there that it's just really nice. It's right there in the Indianapolis area. And so I really like that. You know, of course, when you get up there, you got the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You can go over to the Speedway Museum over there. You know, you can go out to the track and see what all they've got going, you know, on there. So it's really good, you know, to see all that happen. And everything, but you know, I was just thinking the other day. You know, the Kentucky Derby—it's a global sport. It's impressive, you know, because of the fashion, the celebrities, and the community component. You know, of the race that's been going on since 1875. You know, every first Saturday in May, right there in Louisville, and it gets better and better every year. In fact, if you go to IENTV.org and you scroll down towards the bottom, you're going to see what I call the Triple Crown tradition, and it's coming soon. We've got it in production right now, and what it is it's about the Triple Crown races and tradition. It's about tradition, and we go to Churchill Downs, and we've got the top four recipes at Churchill Downs that people have, you know, an official recipe for each one of the races, the Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont. And we got four on there from Churchill Downs. But what this Triple Crown tradition is about is it's going to be about a trainer, an owner, and a jockey from each one of the tracks. And they're going to have a cooking competition. We're going to see who cooks the best food, the owner, the trainer, or the jockey. And then when we find the winner at each track, they will meet at Del Mar for the Triple Crown Tradition Chef of the Year. They will compete against each other, and then we'll have a winner, and he will be the Chef of the Year is what he'll be. So we're excited about that. But you know what's interesting is there's not one real recipe for each one of these races, the four races. There's not one. There's not one signature, you know, meal that you could say. Now you've got like the Derby pie at Churchill. You got the hot brown. You got a lot of, you know, good, you know, recipes, but nothing that, you know, that really says, okay, when you say Churchill, I think of, you know, this, and this, because it's all different. And same at Pimlico, and same at Belmont, and same at the Breeders' Cup. And that's what I like about this tradition. It's going to eventually establish, you know, a champion for 2025, you know, and that's going to be three champions. you know, plus the fourth champion will be the grand champion at the Breeders' Cup. And all, and they're all different recipes. And that's what I like about this. You get all kinds of recipes that you can go from and, you know, kind of get, you know, an idea what you might like. And who knows, it could be you. You know, you could send in your recipe to us, and, you know, it, you know, we might select that as a demonstration of a Triple Crown tradition, you know, at your house. And that's what I like about tradition. You get a certain group of people, a certain thing that you're going to be doing. You do all that, and you go from there. And every year it gets bigger and better and more people. And, you know, before you know it, you're going from a little, you know, 40-inch TV to, you know, a 60-inch TV out in your backyard. And it's really good, you know, about traditions. It gives you something to look forward to. It gives you something to prepare for. And it gives you something to try to outdo your neighbor with, you know, like who had the best, you know, Derby pie this year? Who had the best Kentucky Burgoo? You know, who had all that? So that's what you need to do. And so it was interesting, you know, to see what all was going on, you know, with traditions. And it's about anything, you know, we do here in the horse business. It's all about traditions. You know, same thing with like in the three-day eventing at Lexington. That's really a good thing to go to. What I like about it, and again, you know, you're talking about all these different traditions and things that you do. The three-day Rolex in Lexington, they've got a big sale at Keeneland. That's the last week of Keeneland running for the spring. You got the big horse sale at Keeneland. Then you got the three-day Rolex. You've got polo. You got show jumping. You've got dressage. You've got a little bit of everything. And that all comes within a span of about 2 weeks. That's what that all does. And, you know, it's just amazing, you know, to see how all this goes. I'm telling you, it's scary when you think about it. And you go out and you see all these celebrities and they're all out walking around and talking and seeing all what all is going on there with everything. So, you know, that's pretty good. Back in the day, you'd see the Queen of England, you know, she would be over here, see all kinds of athletes, you know, people that are there. And you know what's funny about it? Is they're all, there's no one outstanding one there because there's so many people that are there. You know, whether it's John Travolta, you know, whether it's, you know, Danny Sullivan, Danica Patrick, you know, you see all of them there and they're just fans. They're people in the stands. You know, they're just regular people there to enjoy horse racing. So, you know, that's what I like about that. And then, of course, like in Louisville, I'm telling you, the Derby Festival is unbelievable what they have there. On April 23rd, 2022, they had a thunder over Louisville. And, I mean, it was just unbelievable. You know, all the things that you see, all the things that go on. They've got the air show, the fireworks show is one of the largest in the world, and they get close to 1 million people there in Louisville just to see that show. You know, it's unbelievable. They got an air show there that goes on with it. It's just unbelievable. The balloon races. It took me a long time to catch on to the balloon races. What they do is they got what they call a balloon show. It's a balloon festival light up show. And what they do is the night before the balloon race, they go out and they inflate all the balloons and you can see all the colors and they got lights in them and on them and everything. And it's just unbelievable. And then they got what they call the hare, and it's a designated balloon that will lift off early in the morning and he'll go for 30, 40 minutes, you know, up in the air. And then he'll set his balloon down. And wherever he sets his balloon down at, that's where the finish line is. And what I like about this is then you got like 30 or 40 balloons that go up after that. And they try to get to where the hare went to, and they drop a weighted bag, and whoever gets closest to the mark that the hare had set out is the winner of the balloon race. And I tell you, it's unbelievable. When you go out there and people are driving all over trying to find out where they're going and where they're going to sit down at, and no telling where they're going to sit down at. I've seen neighborhoods have balloons set down in them. But it's just unbelievable. And that's all part of the Derby Festival week that you have there. They got the boat races that they have, and their paddle wheel boats, usually from Cincinnati and from Louisville. The Belle of Louisville is one of the biggest ones that you'll see all over the country. It's out on the Ohio River, and they get 100,000 people to see that. They line the riverbanks to watch that, you know. Then the parade they have, the Pegasus Parade. Oh man, they got bands. They got all kinds of things from everywhere. You know, it's kind of like a Macy's Day Parade, you know, at Thanksgiving that they have there, and that's unbelievable. And then when you're there in Louisville, you can go to Hillerson Bradsby, where they make all the baseball bats for, you know, just about everybody that's playing baseball. They got their factory there, and you can take a tour of their place. And, I mean, it's just unbelievable. They got a mini marathon. They get thousands of people to that mini marathon. You know, that's something that they go to. But, you know, like I said, it's all about tradition. It's all about what you do and where you go. And one of the funny things about one of the traditions is all the ladies wear derby hats. They get a derby hat. And they're real colorful, and they got feathers and, you know, multi colors, and they're all sizes. You know, they're all different sizes. But the funny thing, and this became a tradition right from the get-go, you don't wear the same derby hat twice. That's what you don't do. Some of these people have been going there for 40 years to the Derby, and they got 40 different Derby hats. You know, and then you got to figure out, what am I going to do with them? Well, a lot of the people wear a Derby hat, like, say, this year, 2024. Then they put it up on the Internet, or, you know, they advertise Derby hats being sold. And so they sell it to somebody else, and then that person wears it, and then they do the same thing. So, you know, these Derby hats could literally have been at the Derby 40 years in a row, but not on the same person twice. And so that's what I like about, you know, things, the tradition, you know, in the Derby. The infield at the Derby is a tradition that is second to none. Pimlico and Baltimore, it's a Preakness, used to be a rival, but not anymore because they've changed a lot of things at Pimlico for the better. But if it rains out there, you got people that are sliding in the mud. You got all kinds of things that are going on out there in the infield. It's just unreal. And I'll never forget, this had been a few years back, I'd say probably 15 years ago, maybe 20. Churchill Downs was having people taking booze and beer into the infield. And I mean, they were just getting outrageous. They were getting drunk, passing out. They were doing all kinds of things, you know, that you just wouldn't believe. So Churchill says, we're going to stop all the booze coming in. So they checked everybody coming in. When they came through those gates to go to the infield, nobody had nothing, not an eyedropper worth of liquor on them, you know. And so they said that if they catch anybody with booze out there, if they can get booze into the infield, we'll give them 4 free Kentucky Derby tickets. Well, the very next year, there's these 2 guys out there, and each one of them got a fifth of whiskey in their hands. And, you know, Churchill, they were stunned. How could somebody get 2 bottles of whiskey into Churchill Downs? Said, it's impossible. Said, they couldn't have done it. Well, what they did is they had a car show out in Louisville in the summertime. And these guys took a car out there and put in the infield, and they were having the car show. lo and behold, what did they do? They dug a hole and they buried 4 fifths of booze. They buried it in the ground, covered it back up, and left. So we'll come back out next spring, you know, and we'll dig it up, and we'll have the booze. You know, so I don't know if they ever got their free tickets, but, you know, that's how the story went and everything. So that was pretty good. And then, you know, of course, the infield, you got the mint juleps that they sell, and they got the derby glasses that they have. And, you know, it's kind of neat to collect derby glasses. Like right now, I'm sitting here in my little office, and I got 38 glasses, derby glasses from, you know, different years. And, it's kind of a neat thing to do. You know, just part of a tradition that I have here. You know, then, in the book, it's got all the winners. It's got all the, stories about, you know, the people that, you know, were there, the Triple Crown winners that they have. You know, it's just nice to see this book. It's really worth the money. I think it's about $39.95 is what it costs. And you can call Churchill Downs, you know, or go online to Churchill Downs to get the 150 years of the Derby and everything. But, you know, it's kind of like about what we're doing here. We're going to be trying to get into the video aspect more than we are now. If you go to IENTV.org, you can see everything that's going on. You know, you can see the Kentucky Derby thing that we have here. You know, send your recipe, Triple Crown recipe, to msmequine24@gmail.com. You know, or you can call me at 561-690-8813. Your recipe and your Triple Crown tradition could be featured on the International Equine Report on Fridays, which is today. And if we had somebody that would send us a recipe, we'd be talking about that right now and everything. And then, like I said, the broadcast that we have coming up for that, for the Triple Crown traditions, who will be the Triple Crown chef? Will it be an owner, a trainer, or a jockey? You can tune in May 5th. May 15th and May 6th to see each competition. May 5th is the one that will be Churchill Downs. May 15th is the Preakness. And June 5th is the Belmont Stakes. And then we'll have the Triple Crown crowning of the champion on October 30th from Del Mar Racetrack in California. We'll see that, see what that's all about. On our website, At the Wire, I put some quick links in. You go in and you want to see any track in the country. Right now we're starting to load the tracks in. If they're live racing, we have a quick link to it. You just click onto it and it takes you right to the track. Like we got Belmont at the Big A after Saratoga's down. You know, it's got the Naira address, it's got Churchill Downs, Colonial Downs, Del Mar, Delta Downs, Keeneland, Kentucky Downs, Laurel Park, Park, Santa Anita, and Tampa Bay Downs are up there right now. And with them live racing, you can go and click on them and take it right there, and you can see what we show on here. Then we got August 27th, we got Last Call, which is our horse sales. And what's interesting about the one on the 27th, it's a digital sales that the sales company has been going along with. Instead of going to the sale facility like in Ocala, Lexington, you know, or California or New York, it's a digital sale. And this is something that they started in the last few years, and I really do like it because you can see everything that you need to see about it. The only thing you can't do is, you know, you're not there at the sales company to go, you know, to bid on it yourself. You have to bid through internet or the phone. But you always have a vet go check out your horse, you know, wherever it's at. And the horses are usually located at the owner's farm. So if you want to go out and see it, you know, or have a representative of yourself or a vet go look at it, you know, they just go out to the farms, and the farms are glad to have you come out. You can see them in a field. You can see them in the stalls, you know, and you can do that before you go to bid for the digital sales. And those digital sales are getting pretty exciting. You know, it's pretty exciting when you get out there to see them. Then we got and real nice. This is always good. The NetJet Pacific Coast Open semifinals. That's our trucker show. That is going to be August the 30th at 4 p.m. And we got an. And it's going to be good. It's going to be good. That's 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 o'clock, you know, Pacific Time. And if you go to our website there, you click on the link, and it will take you right to the show or to the competition live. It'll be live. Then we have 0 to 10 today, and it's really a good segment. I like this a lot. It's the lifetime of a dressage horse, the young horse, and it shows you exactly what you have to do to get a dressage horse ready for, you know, world class competition in FEI and USEF and the Olympics. You know, it puts everything into perspective. And it's just not, you know, getting on a horse and riding it. It's hours and hours and years of training. And the least little thing can happen. Like this year, the top rider in the world, he was Grand Prix jumping. And I feel bad for him, but it was one of those things, the horse dumped him. He thought the horse was going left, and he was going right, and the horse dumped him. Now, this is a gold medal finalist. You know, so it just goes to show you there was 4 years of competition and training put in and got there to the last, you know, few jumps. And next thing you know, it's gone. You know, it's taken right out from under him. You know, but it wasn't his fault. It wasn't the horse's fault. It's just one of those things, miscommunication that you have. But you can go to FEI on here in the USEF.org and click on it, and that'll tell you where competitions are in your area. You know, I like that. Then we have one thing for you gamblers out there. Now, I'm not a gambler. If I get up, I beat the odds in the morning. So that's the way I look at it. But we have a show called Talking Horses. It's provided us by the New York Racing Association. And it's really interesting because you've got people that handicap the race. They come in and you know, tell us about who's running at Saratoga and, you know, who's running at Belmont or Aqueduct. And the concept in the video of how the International Equine Network started, IEN format, equine distribution of information for all breeds via internet, podcasts, and TV and radio. That's what we do here. And Talking Horses is one of the things that we put on, you know, there. And as for the gambler, and that's, you got to know what you're doing when you, I mean, you can go to look at it, just kind of see what it is. But, you know, it's expert people that are handicapping races at New York, and they're pretty good at what they do. They're pretty good at what they do. Then we have a nice AQHA, you know, rodeo thing on our website. It's really good. It talks about how the bulls, you know, are trained and how they teach them to buck and bronc and the cowboys, how, you know, how they deal with that. You know, that's interesting, you know, to see. I tell you what, it blew my mind when I watched it, how they train them and, you know, how they get them ready for the competitions and how they ride them. And let me tell you something, 9 times out of 10, it's the bull that's the winner. Guarantee you that. I guarantee you that. And I just laugh so much at it. You see these guys walking around and you know, they're getting into it and everything. They get up there and, you know, in 2 or 3 seconds, they're off the bull. Now, I've never tried to ride a bull before because I know it takes a skill to do that and everything. But it's just kind of interesting, you know, when you see that. Then we've got an IEN trailer on here, and it kind of goes, this little trailer that we have, it kind of tells in a little 15-second commercial there that I shot. It tells the concept of IEN. It shows a little bit of everything. And then our rough cut with Anna Seitz is from Cayman, from when we first started out IEN many years ago. And we follow her around, and she's interviewing people and how she's putting together, you know, our show called International Equine Network. And this is the rough cut. And you see some bloopers, and you see how we start and stop and the questions we ask. And, you know, can you get a jockey to stand here? Can you get an owner to do this? You know, and it's interesting. It kind of gives you an idea of what all goes into our productions, you know, with TV and radio. And then I've been, had a lot of really good good things happen to me from the Florida Agriculture Department. Every state has an ag department, and they're responsible for the horse industry because it's worth billions of dollars to each state. And so, therefore, each state is spending money to get people to think about, you know, the business, you know, the horses in their state. So this one that we have on our website is called the Florida Horse, and it goes through and it tells you and shows you why it's a billion-dollar industry. It shows you about the people in the tack shops, the feed stores, you know, the hotels. It tells you a little bit of everything about, you know, the horse business. And it also explains the horse in Florida. The original horse is called the Cracker. And that's an original, you know, if you're from Florida, you're a Cracker. And it tells you a little bit about that. So, you know, that's very informational that we have there. Then we've got another quick links for all horsemen. Anybody could come here to it. But we got Trivago. We got the weatherchannel.com, MapQuest, Ship, Walmart, Heisa. Those are all quick links, and it takes you right to their website. We have things on there about the horse feed. But my best one, and the one that I did for a long time, was equine transportation. I flew horses for Instone Air Services. And if you go and click on to the horse transport, you'll see how horses get over to Europe and to the Olympics. It's really a good show. The camera goes right into the plane with the horses. And the last but not least, we have the business of the week. If you go on there and you take a look, and you'll see the farm of the week that we have there. It takes a virtual tour of the farm. And then you can also see on there that we are, at Sunshine Meadows, we are certified Hurricane Equestrian Safety Center farm for the horse industry here in Florida, and it tells a little bit about that. So now that you've got all that, and I bored you to death like there's no tomorrow, all I can say is we'll talk to you next week on the International Equine Report.